Hello and all, welcome to the TNC podcast. Nobody knows what day of the week it is. The Easter weekend, I think, is just about behind us. It has been frantic with football. A win, a loss, and a big game ahead. Chris Reeve, how's your voice? Because on the video that we filmed together, post-Plymouth,
yeah,
everyone was going, well, Chris was obviously shouting rather loud because your voice was in tatters.
Yeah, that's what your voice should be after a game of football.
That's why we never see you post-match, because
exactly.
You're back home with your lozenges and your...
That's exactly why we wait a couple of days to film the podcast. People are like, oh, why didn't you get the podcast out sooner? It's because I don't have a bloody voice. That's good. Good win. Solid win. Got through it. Just one of those games where we just needed to win. Mm. And but, you know, with the added caveat of Plymouth or Plymouth.
We're starting that, are we? Plymouth or
Plymouth?
Well,
no. Birmingham or Birmingham, and that'll always be the case. Yeah. But you have to remember Plymouth, Rotherham.
Yeah.
You know, these are the real shit shows of the Championship, aren't they?
They beat us 6-2.
You know, Rotherham were relegated over the weekend.
Oh, they were?
I'm sure they were.
They won, unless, they won.
Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm sure that they're relegated now.
Oh, I'm not sure. Well, I know that they beat Millwall, who we, of course, did lose to
away
from. Yeah,
but it was pointless because they've already been relegated.
Well, Rotherham... Well, they'll bounce back next season anyway. They always do that. Let's try not to offend any fans before I'm sure we do end up offending those with a blue persuasion later on in the show. Are you full of Easter eggs? Because I couldn't believe with Chris. I mean, he's ripped, you know, six-pack, big muscles, blah, blah. I walked in to the Reeve Mansion on Saturday to be greeted by what can only be described as a wall of Easter eggs. And I'm like, well, I guess to be fair, none of them were open, so maybe they're just for display.
Exactly. Could all be a facade.
But there's hundreds of these eggs.
No. You eat your chocolate, don't you? You eat your Easter eggs. It's got to be done, mate. I tend to live by the rule of healthy during the week, absolute shit show at the weekend.
Oh, okay. Right.
Pies and beer and whatever at the weekend. But during the week...
You're a good boy.
Keep it clean. Anyway, let's get away from that, please. Sorry. And let's go
back.
Well,
let's start with Plymouth. Because you've slagged off Plymouth.
Yeah.
You've said it was a game we trotted through. But
do you know what we'll do, actually?
Big.
Do you know what, though, actually?
Oh, God, here we go.
Give them their credit. What I will say is... The Plymouth Argyle fans are a credit to their football club. And it takes a lot for me to say that. They came in their numbers despite their horrific, horrific away record. Fair play to them.
And we can relate to them because they're stuck out on a limb and so are we.
The pasty boys. Yes. No. Oh, like, seriously, their fans deserve credit considering the shit show they are away.
Didn't see Pie Face, though.
No. We didn't clock him.
I think he was behind the screen because we can't see parts of Carrow Road because of the...
You mean our electric water feature?
Exactly.
That drips, by the way, for the context. What was he saying? Oh, yes. So we beat Plymouth 2-1, didn't we? Mm. Sargent scored. Of course he did.
Yeah.
And
water's wet.
Yeah, absolutely. McCallum. We are giving that to him, aren't we?
We'll give him that.
Definitely wasn't
the
OG.
Yeah, we'll give him that one.
Lovely glancing header to take the lead. But I actually think, Jack, the man that yet again deserves all of the plaudits for that 3 points at Carrow Road is Angus Gunn.
I thought you were going to say Andy Hughes.
Angus Gunn. Two huge, huge game-changing saves that meant that we got all 3 points because... Plymouth certainly had their chances. I was very concerned in the first half and also at the back end of the second, they had a couple of really good chances. Angus, some absolutely outstanding saves yet again and is showing time after time that he is indeed the best goalkeeper in the Championship.
Absolutely. You look at the numbers in terms of goals prevented.
Yeah.
He is right at the very top.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the opening goal because, you know, Plymouth took the lead. Morgan Whittaker, by the way, is a top player. I think we'll probably not be at Plymouth next season.
Weren't we in for him? I made that up.
No, we were. But I think he just said, I love Plymouth. And I want to go to Plymouth. I mean, fair play.
Yeah.
Fair play. But he looked kind of a cut above the rest in that one. It was a slightly concerning goal to concede. And I must say, when that went in, I thought, ooh, you know, Ipswich ahead, Kiefer Moore. That's going to be an area in which they exploit. And obviously, Sorensen was playing that game. He limped off against Leicester. So I can't imagine we'll see him against Ipswich.
Yeah.
But that height is an issue when he plays, I think, when crosses are thrown into the box.
Yeah, well, look, there's two issues there. One is Jakob, bless his heart, he ain't big enough to be a centre back, in my humble opinion. I think he is a relatively decent utility player, where you can, you know, we've likened him to the filler in a toolbox. He can fit in anywhere. Everyone needs a Lungi in their toolbox,
right?
That's
the worst compliment ever.
Everyone needs a Lungi in their toolbox. No, it's not. I'm complimenting him. I'm saying he can play anywhere, anytime. Stick him in between the sticks. He'll probably do a job.
Who's the screwdriver?
But anyway, but yes, no, the height is a challenge for Lungi. And the other problem that has been presented to us time after time after time after time after time after time this season is what, Jack?
Not stopping the cross.
Correct. We don't stop crosses. Mm. And that's of the fault of not necessarily the defenders, but actually the midfielders. And actually we saw that against Leicester as well. There was a cross. I think it was Borja didn't get out quick enough to stop that cross. It was a concerning goal to concede. You would like to think that Duffy will be able to header those crosses out against the scum at Carrow Road. But look, he's not match sharp, I think it's fair to say. I think we saw that against Leicester. I think he'll probably say that himself, that he needs minutes starting games of football, playing football again. But no, I think he'll be okay. The only flip side to that, of course, by the way, we'll control me. But thinking about that Ipswich game,
you've got to breathe.
Kiefer Moore being out, well, means maybe they'll play it on the floor, and therefore, are we going to get done for pace? Yes, is the answer.
Yeah, we'll see about Kiefer Moore's injury. I was chatting to Ben Bloom. Look, we'll have videos of Ben later on in the week on the channel. Always love chatting to Ben.
Do you remember when I got all kinds of abuse because we pre-planned
refused to shake his hand.
We pre-planned a refused handshake, like WWE style, and everyone on the internet melted over it. And they were like, oh my God. I was like, we literally planned it before. It's just a bit of rivalry banter. Big up to Benjamin Bloom.
Great guy.
Turned up to my house with a case of beer, I think, as well. I'm sure he did. So, yeah, fair play. Yeah. Fair play.
Ben will be on the channel later on in the week. And I must say, if we thought that we were the nervous ones, Ipswich fans are nervous, very nervous as well.
I don't know why.
Because they've got something to lose.
I don't know why.
We'll get onto that shortly. Plymouth win.
Yeah.
Good.
Yes.
Must win.
Yeah.
Good to return after the international break.
Carrow record remains with a win intact.
So you're going to Leicester.
Yeah.
Leicester faltering. They just lost on Monday against Bristol City.
Yeah.
Bristol City. And you go, oh, this is the chance. This is the chance to statement win.
Yeah.
Teams around us dropping points.
Yes, indeed.
And Norwich take the lead.
Yeah.
And suddenly you're thinking, oh, cricket score. Hello. Enzo Maresca. Sacking. Hello.
Not sure I'd get
I was
that
thinking
far.
That. I was thinking three, four, maybe five.
Okay.
Wasn't to be.
No. It's kind of like, Jack, when you get the Norwich City calendar out and you're really optimistic. You think, well, what will the next month be?
Well, I assume April.
What will April bring?
Near the end of the season, and then, Easter weekend.
And then you turn the page in the calendar and it's Adam Forshaw.
Great that to see was him.
What that was what that Leicester game did to me. Mm. You know, I had hope. You know, it's going to be a quality player. You know, one of the mainstays on the front of the April calendar. And no, it's Adam Forshaw. Look, it was a really well worked, and we do need to praise the set piece thing, the set piece specialist.
Well, that's three in two games.
Yeah, and it's been said that Andy Hughes is behind that. Fair play. I joked on social media it was the Alan Russell legacy, because of course he was infamously credited for all of the set pieces.
I hope
for a
he's
while.
Well, Alan Russell. Not heard much about him recently.
God knows what he's up to.
He managed us,
but fair play. Yeah,
on the history list of Norwich City managers,
is Alan Russell. Anyway, what's my point?
You know what? Just to interject one more thing, and then I'll let you talk. I'm doing you today. I'm
Come
just
on.
Interrupting you.
Come on, then.
Pointless answers for Norwich City managers.
Yeah.
Alan Russell will be the pointless answer.
Yes, agreed. Set piece specialists, we're right up there now. I believe we're up there with Cardiff as the team that has scored the most set pieces in the league. And that's nice because we've always been crap at corners. Mm. And one of the things that I will never, ever, ever tolerate is anyone saying it's acceptable to not get it over the first man. It absolutely, but you know, like and let's go to our listeners and viewers on this. What are the things in at the football that boil your piss? Mine is when we don't get it over the first man. It absolutely doesn't matter. They train all week, Jack. They can't even get it over the bloody first man. And there's some football hipsters, there's football hipsters out there that are like, oh no, you don't need to get it over the first man. You bloody do. Except from when you're set piece specialists and you create a space in that, in the box. Ben Gibson did it brilliantly against Leicester.
Yeah, well, right.
Absolute blatant push.
Yeah.
But loved it from you, Gibbo.
Well, it was more of a hug.
But yeah, and fine, that's Norwich, isn't it? You know, we're lovers, not fighters. And then create that space for Sarah. Sublime. Brilliant.
Yeah, no, great goal.
Anyway, that was my rambling
so
about
at that
set
point,
pieces.
You won the lap
yep.
against Leicester.
Yep.
Their home fans started to go, oh, God.
Yeah.
Are we going to throw away what was an unassailable lead?
Bearing in mind they've already got their clap banners out.
They're on the back foot.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's punish
them. Yeah. Signs, Sarah and Sargent, Norwich City's triple S.
So what do? Park 11 behind the ball and invite them on. What is it with Norwich away from home? What the games that pop to my head. Watford, 2-0 lead. Throw it away.
Oh, don't. Can you not go through these?
Leicester. Go ahead, throw it away.
Yeah.
There's other games in there.
Yes.
What is it? It's not only... If it was like at home and away, you could almost understand it.
Yes.
Because it's the way that we do it.
Agreed, yeah.
At home, it's not like that anymore. We take the lead and we keep going.
Yeah,
What's the reason? Because I've been sat here for the last few days trying to work out. People keep asking me, particularly going into these Ipswich games, why is your away for... Third best home record in the division, 19th worst away from home.
Well, the eye test to me says that it's individual quality that's helping us win games. Individual moments of magic is what I mean there, Jack. So, you know, a Johnny Rowe, a Borja Sainz maybe takes it past two and then pops one in from the outside of the box. You know, a surging Sargent run, but it doesn't feel like it's part of necessarily a well-oiled system. Maybe that's me being a bit harsh. This is away from home.
Mm.
Away from home, I think we play with so much fear. And even when we go a goal ahead, you know, that should be the moment when we go again and we go again and we go again. And actually, do you know what? If we conceded off the back of trying to attack it, Norwich fans want to see a Norwich team that goes for it. You know, those are the teams that we've fallen in love with.
Well,
over
and that's
the years,
our strengths,
right?
In this squad.
The only team that you could maybe say that was super successful, and obviously won the title, the championship title, and was balanced and had a great defence was Nigel Worthington's side with the likes of Malky, Flem, Drury, Edwards.
Very different game then, though, isn't it?
Exactly. Huck, so obviously attacking Dean Ashton and Leon McKenzie up front, etc., etc. Cool. The list goes on. Ewan Roberts, anyway, I've listened to the whole team. Great team. We play with fear. It's the approach to the game I felt was actually right in terms of the way that we went into it was correct. The team that we played, I think, was the right team. You could obviously make a debate around Jakob Sorensen and Shane Duffy. Obviously, that was taken out of David Wagner's hands anyway. But yeah, you go a goal ahead, Jack. Like, fucking come on. Mm. Let's keep going. And it's one of those problems that we've highlighted time after time this season is the mentality. I think we worry so much. When we go a goal ahead and we're getting a stranglehold of the game, as you say, the Leicester fans were like, oh my God, like we're going to lose another game here.
Yeah.
And I'm so confident that the Norwich players were smelling blood at that point. We were actually having... I think we were having some decent spells of possession, some decent patterns of play in Leicester's half. As soon as we opted for fear, you just invite them on. And when a team like Leicester, of their quality, with their Premier League quality, I mean, it's Drewsby Hall, am I pronouncing that correct? You know, exceptional. Who's the lad? Mavididi out on the wing. You know, a player that was toured around Colney this summer, just gone. You know, it was, again, exceptional talent. You cannot give them time on the ball to hurt you. If not, they will.
And I guess this is the concern because, you know, one would hope now that we do finish in the top six. I think it's in our hands to lose. Would you fancy us in a second leg in the semi-final away to a Carlos Corberan West Brom, away to a Russell Martin Southampton. You think we could go to one of those and win a game based on our away form this season?
Against West, your example of West Brom,
or,
yes.
Or Southampton, or an Ipswich, maybe.
I think away from home we wouldn't beat Southampton. We wouldn't beat South Africa. Sorry, I'm thinking of the hardest geezer. We wouldn't beat Southampton away. We would beat West Brom home and away.
Do you think?
They're monumentally average.
I'm not sure, mate.
They are.
I'm not sure.
Well, look, we beat them home and away this season.
We haven't away from home. We definitely
lost. Oh, no, we didn't. We lost.
And that was a stinking as well.
Sorry, yeah, we did lose that game. Borja got sent off.
Boxing Day. I'll allow you to forget that one.
Anyway, apologies. What's your point? What is your point?
Like, would you fancy us in a big moment?
I think away from home.
At Carrow Road, we could be anywhere.
No, I'm a nervous wreck away from home.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the concern, right?
Yeah, and because we're not a team that would, you know, batter a team at home, apart from an absolute shit heap like Rotherham.
Well, you spoke about it earlier on in the show, Chris. You know, it's all well and good beating your Rotherhams and your Stokes and your Plymouths.
Yes.
It does feel as if against the Leicester, against the West Brom away from home, against the Southampton, we have been tactically outclassed on every one of those occasions. And we've almost been bailed out in the times we have got something by individual quality.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And I think, you know, some people might think that's harsh, but I think I would agree with you on that, Jack. I think that we have been outclassed. Leeds away, another one where you could say the same. I know that the quality difference there is ridiculous. But no, that is who we are. That's what we've been. That is the team that we are this season. It's frustrating.
Well, look, results around us went our way.
Forgive me. I was about to say something, which was, forget the Leicester loss. In terms of the playoff, I know we're all thinking about Ipswich, and we are going to talk about that now. But forget the Leicester loss, because fortunately results went our way.
Well, that's, yeah, I mean, Liam Kitchen of Coventry decided to turn into a striker into his own net.
Cheers.
So that was great. He was the one, actually, he was giving a bit of jip to the Barkley. So every time I see him make a mistake, I have a little joy inside of me.
Yeah, I love that for me.
I think did he get sent off against us or score an own goal? Something like that. Coventry lost, Hull lost. Mm-hmm. I thought they were going to be the team to chase.
Yeah, I know you did. Another thing you said that was incorrect.
They're not doing great. I think Preston, were Preston ever in it? I'm not so sure. So Norwich still very much in the driving seat for sixth.
Yes.
Ipswich on Saturday. Let's talk about it.
Do we have to?
We do.
Can we just do this as a short podcast?
Let's start with a positive.
Go on.
Coming into this game, I feel a hell of a lot more confident than I did when we were playing at Portman Road.
I mean, yeah, I agree.
Think back to them.
Mate, we were a stake going to that game against Portaloo Road. I found that hilarious that they couldn't beat us at Portaloo Road on their big cup final. They couldn't beat us at Portaloo Road. I mean, we were a stake, weren't
well,
we?
But
you are right that actually that then should give you confidence. Mm. Our home form is very good. Mm. We've got a current winning slash undefeated run at Carrow still intact. So that's a positive. Another positive is Ipswich have lost a few more away. They do look like a slightly weaker side away from home. And of course, it's a huge occasion and it's derby day and anything can happen. This is a huge opportunity for, you know, I'll do maybe a bit of a rally cry for the players later on, but, you know, this is a huge opportunity for those Norwich players to really knock the stuffing out of Ipswich. It could be absolutely massive.
What adds pressure though, Chris, is when we played them at Portman Road, it almost felt like there was nothing to lose. Almost gone, well, the unbeaten run comes to an end here.
Yeah,
and I'd almost accepted that.
Yeah, me too.
And then Johnny
Rowe
pops up and scores two.
Does Johnny Rowe.
Bloody hell. And also like, Ipswich were riding a wave, but they probably thought that, you know, they might drop off a little bit and they were probably going to accept top six at that point. Now, automatic's very much on for them. We were going, well, the season's kind of over already. It wasn't to be that way.
Yeah.
This time, for both sides, there's something huge on it.
Yeah.
And you know, it's the first derby in a long, long while where both teams are competing at the top of the Championship.
Correct.
If you think back to the last, you know, we were thinking about when was the last time we played at Carrow Road?
Well,
it was when we beat them 3-0.
Yeah,
we were top or second.
Yeah.
They were bottom.
Yeah, that was a laugh, wasn't it? We're going up.
But that feels like an absolute age ago.
That was so good, by the way. I loved that. Yeah, no, that was...
That was 2019,
yeah,
right?
10th of February 2019, 3-0 at home. Yeah, and then the home game before that was the Timmy Close 2018 1-1. Might we see a similar result on Saturday?
Luke Chambers. So, you know, things have changed, and Ipswich yes. are, you know, riding a wave, and that I think there will be similarities. I suspect that Sky will go down the whole, you know, Ipswich are on their Daniel Farker 2018-19 kind of wave of late goals.
Oh, I wouldn't say they're not as good as us in 2018-19.
You don't think?
No, they're not. We cruised it in 2018-19.
I know, but in terms of the competition around them this season, Leicester, Southampton,
well, yeah.
Leeds,
we had
Premier
no
League
competition
cash.
Because we were so good.
Well, you have to say though, Chris, you have to say they are going well. I mean, that Southampton game was just the epitome of them this
season. Do you
know
what I would say? There's a really interesting discussion to be had around the Ipswich are lucky thing, right? Mm. Because I would stomp on that. And it takes a lot for me to say this, obviously, and I hate the fact I'm saying it.
Feeling okay.
You create your own luck in life. You create your own luck on the football pitch. And don't get me wrong, of course, they've been lucky in the sense of, you know, balls have fallen for them, ricocheted them in the box, you know, goals off the post, off the crossbar, deflected goals off shins of defenders. But that's because, Jack, of their mentality. Mm. That's because of the way that they approach games. It's because of their never say die attitude. It's because of the fact that they are, like we were under Paul Lambert, they were League One players. Mm. These boys are League One players and they're proving a point. Mm. And that's why they get so many late goals. So I think any Norwich fan that says Ipswich are lucky, actually, I don't think that's fair.
Well, short memories of the way that we've got about
you create
well.
Your own luck based upon the way that you approach games, and that's where I am envious, and it really fucking hurts me to say that. I think McKenna is a really good coach, and I think that he's proven this season that, you know, he wasn't a one season wonder in League One. And yeah, obviously from a Norwich City perspective, I just hope that they somehow fuck it up against us at Carrow on Saturday, because they're a very well-oiled machine. Mm. And where I think Ipswich can and will hurt us is in the transitions between the midfield and the forward lines. They're so fast to break forwards, and that's an issue for Norwich with our slower centre backs, it's probably fair to say. So that's where I do worry. They've got some quick players, full stop, so have we, but they're much quicker in the transition than we are. We're quite, I think, slow in our build up. Not as slow as a Daniel Farker build up. David Wagner does like to have a slightly faster, more direct build up, but no, yeah, look, I think Ipswich could hurt us in that way.
I think that was the amazing thing with them on Monday against Southampton. Southampton go ahead, and yet Ipswich's game plan never once changed. Yeah. It was, we will throw men forwards. Yes. Even when Ipswich took the lead, yeah. And then within a minute later, Southampton conceded, it was because Leif Davis is halfway up, he's a good player, by the way, halfway up the pitch, and you're going like, if you're trying to defend against this, not only do, you know, Ipswich know themselves that they can push and grab goals late on, and that's brilliant for mentality.
Yes.
But when you're the opposition, you're almost expecting the inevitable. Mm. You're going, well, we know what's coming here, and that's a really scary thought.
Yes.
And
yes.
That's really tricky to defend. Yeah. What I would say, and this is the hope for Norwich, and I think particularly at Carrow Road, they do concede goals.
Yes.
You know, they're not watertight.
Yes.
They do play with their wing backs incredibly high up the pitch. Yeah. There is room in behind.
Yeah. I don't rate their centre backs at all.
But if you get a McCallum and a Stacey forwards, and you've got Borja and you've got Gabby Sarr, you've got Josh Sargent, there is room there for us to hurt them.
Yeah.
And we have to be incredibly brave.
Oh no, absolutely, Jack. I think we will be brave at home. I hope. Please, David.
But that,
please,
that,
David,
we have to play to our strengths.
Of course,
if we sit off,
oh God,
they're going to hurt us.
100%, mate. You know, you can basically say, and I do mean this, if we go into this defensively, you know, staying quote unquote compact, parking the Wagner wagon, putting 11 men behind the ball, you can kiss goodbye to the 15-year record because they will go and they will go and they will go and they will not stop and they will hurt us. So yes, we have to be brave. And by the way, I don't want people to you know, think that I may be down in the dumps or being negative here. I agree with you, Jack. I know we can hurt Ipswich on Saturday hard.
But
it's that other side. It's the mentality. It's their approach to the game. It's the late goals. It's going to be tough.
Let's see what the mood on Twitter is like. I'm hoping, Chris,
yes,
that the mood is positive and optimistic on Twitter because...
Yes, me too.
You might even be able to tell in my voice, the butterflies are starting to set in. The nerves have kicked in. And whenever someone mentions East Anglian Derby, my blood runs cold. There is something... It's worse at Carrow Road because of where we sit and the unbeaten run and the history that comes with this game. Once we're in motion, I'm kind of okay.
Oh, I'm not.
I'm kind of okay. Lead up is the worst.
I'm not. Honestly, I'm not for the whole time until that final whistle is blown. What I would say is, and obviously I've milked it dry. This 15-year run, oh my God, glorious. You know, most of the Ipswich fan base have grown up half supporting Chelsea, Tottenham, Spurs, Arsenal, Manchester United, Chelsea, because they've just given up, they just gave up on Ipswich because they were so shit. Like the last time they did anything was in black and white. Like that's how shit they've been. So I've really enjoyed this 15-year run, but I'm slightly jealous of derbies where it's one for you, one for us. Do you know what I mean? Like teams where either one of them can beat each other. Like I've loved the run, but in terms of the nerves, if this 15-year run wasn't in place, you'd kind of be a bit more chest puffed out going into it. But from a Norwich City perspective, it just feels like there's so much more to lose. Whereas from an Ipswich perspective, they've got everything to gain, in my opinion.
Let's go to Twitter. Go on. We'll start with Run Cycle Cake. One of my favourite usernames to pronounce. He says, I can see similar comments, but I'll echo them. Wagner has a plan A, and when it works, it's brilliant.
Yeah.
But needing to evolve before or in a game, and he comes up short. That's why he's a playoff/mid-table championship manager.
Yes.
And if we are honest, that's what Norwich City are right now.
Yeah, I agree with that. I would actually also add on top of that, that yes, plan A can work, but also plan A can crumble. So even if plan A does work, like it did away at Leicester, it was working plan A, but then it just crumbled because we decided to change plan A to plan B before plan A needed to be changed.
Well, that's
Did that make sense?
That's the inability to change in game, and I think that's been my frustration with Wagner along. I keep harping back to this point of, this is a very talented squad. Best goalkeeper in the division, best striker in the division, best midfielder in the division. That's your core.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Best goals per minute.
Yeah.
Best numbers in terms of
facts don't care about feelings, as we've said.
And the best goalkeeper. So there is an argument of quality almost getting you out of a fairly poor system.
Yes.
When Norwich get going, they look great.
Yeah.
And it's free flowing and it's great. And that has been the case over the last few months. I just do worry if we were to get in the playoffs, we are going to be picked apart. That's my concern.
Right, okay. And what I will say for balance, because there is a bunch of people that for some reason have pinned me to the, you know, I hate David Wagner. I don't. I really respect him. I really like David. We've obviously interviewed him on the podcast. I really like the football that he wants to play. But what's my point? My point is that we do have to praise the brilliant run that we've been on, particularly at home. You cannot take that away from David Wagner. You have to praise the system. You have to praise the approach to those games. Of course, the players on the pitch have done the job, but actually, although we're saying we threw it away against Leicester, we invited them on, that's one game in so many games where actually David Wagner has actually done very, very well, has really turned the tide, turned the corner, and has got us into a position now where we've actually got something to play for. So yes, we're criticising David Wagner for the Leicester tactics, but I will certainly praise David Wagner hugely for the brilliant run that we've been on of late before Leicester that has meant that we've now got something to play for. What about this? Jack from Falcon 17 on X. Question. Given the nature of his injury, Is this the last year we will see Handley in a City shirt? Yes, he came back for Feb, but now has another injury. If it is his last year, should we get a guard of honour test? Blimey.
Guard of honour. Wow.
Well, what I would say is, I think it's going to be really interesting, Jack, what happens this summer. Ben Napper's got his work cut out, because if we don't go up, surely we're going to see at least three of our top players leave, in terms of a Gabriel Sara, a Josh Sargent. It's going to be so hard to keep those. I mean, Angus, even Borja, you know, there's so many players, it's going to be tough to keep.
Yeah.
So that's a challenge. But also, linked to this Handley point, there's going to surely be some churn as well. Obviously, there's six players out of contract. How many of those will have their contracts renewed? I don't think many. Mm. So we're going to have to sign a lot of players. So it's going to be really interesting to see what happens. So what's your opinion with regards to Grant Handley to respond to that point, Jack?
I think the first point of that, I think churn is healthy to an extent. And I think having that freshen up is good. You look at the lone players at the moment in Abu Kamara and Brad Hills. Yeah. Like, there's clearly talent there. Keeping hold of them is another issue, but there's talent out there. I feel sorry for Grant Handley, and I think we probably have seen his last games in a Norwich shirt. I mean, he'd done his Achilles, didn't he? And I mean, that's difficult to recover from if you're just a civilian and you're trying to walk about, mm-hmm. you know, let alone
yep.
compete at an elite level of football. And I think, you know, you speak to, you know, Dean Ashton, a great example. You have a serious injury. Recovering is one thing. Then having the trust in your body to go, I will go at full capacity.
Very true, very true.
It's almost a mental thing as well, and that's really difficult. I think on his day, you know, when we first signed Grant Handley, an exceptional defender at this level. Quick,
physical,
good in the air, good passer of the ball.
Great leader.
Good leader, like kind of the complete centre-back in terms of what you want in a championship side. I think recovering from those types of injuries is incredibly difficult. You know, I don't think we'll ever see him back to his best, and that's a real shame.
Mm.
Is his contract up at the end of this summer, or is it?
I don't think
no,
so.
I would be very surprised if you see him back on a consistent basis.
Maybe it is up. We'll need to check that. Mm. Let us know in the comments.
Here's a good one for you.
Go on.
Bit of a conundrum.
Go on then.
From Luke Patterson. He says, he didn't say Chris, but I will say for Chris because his question's for
you.
Okay, go on. What would you rather, Chris? Ipswich go up automatically, or lose to them in the playoffs, but they then go on to lose in the final and remain in the championships?
Hang on, say that again.
Would you rather Ipswich go up automatically?
Yeah.
Or,
and what about us?
Well, we'll get onto that.
Right.
Well, we're in the playoffs.
Right, okay.
Or lose to them in the playoffs,
yeah.
semi-finals, and they then go on to lose in the final. So would you rather them go up automatically and us have a chance of progressing through the playoffs, or they finish third, we finish sixth, we lose to them in the semis, and then they go on to
the playoffs. Well, we've not been mentioned in that conundrum, have we?
Yeah, we.
But I don't want Ipswich to go up at any cost.
Well, this was the thing,
and to respond to that, if we lost to them in the semi final and then they fucked it up in the final, yes. I'll take that.
You would rather that than go up automatically?
100%. I don't want Ipswich in the Premier League.
I was saying to Ben, and I could hear you in the back of my head.
Did you?
Shouting at me.
Did you? You got a bit of Reeve Red Mist.
This is what I said. And hear me out.
Go on.
Hear me out. I said, I would rather Ipswich go up automatically to avoid them. Stay with me. To avoid them in the playoffs, because I think we would have a better chance.
So you want them to progress as a football club whilst we stagnate in the championship?
No, because my hope is that we both go up. Imagine us both in the Premier League, a Premier League East Anglian derby. Because I think avoiding them in the playoffs, we've got a better chance.
Well, look, of course it would be lovely. If in that conundrum, Norwich go up, then fine, I'll take Ipswich going up. If we go up, I'll take it.
But this is my thing.
That's not the conundrum.
Yeah. I would rather avoid them in the playoffs. And I don't think that... Because if they don't go up automatically, they finish third.
Yeah.
I can't see us finishing fifth. So we have them in the semis. Look, and that petrifies me.
It's very concerning. What about this from Finn Brown, who's chucked in a rave, which is just a load of stats, actually, from Finn Brown. Rave, at home, Pre-Samba, of course, Samba de Janeiro, 9 wins, 60% win rate, 1.53 goals per game. Post-Samba, so obviously since Samba de Janeiro has become our goal music, 6 wins, 100% win rate, 2.67 goals per game. A Borja banger to send the boisterous Blues back home to Portaleu Road on Saturday. Well, I love that from you. That last statement, Finn, has really got me going. Samba de Janeiro. It has been the magic ingredient at home, isn't it, Jack?
It's certainly got its airtime, hasn't it? And I hope that we're not paying royalties based on every time it's played, because we're going to be bankrupt as a club soon. Look, I enjoy it. It boils the piss, in the words of Chris Reid, of the opposition fans. You know, once you've just conceded, the last thing you want to hear is goal music, particularly Samba.
But good.
Yeah, I'm saying that.
And I, do you know what? I'm not saying it's not tin pot. It is.
Yeah.
But it's our tin pot.
Yes.
And I love the fact that opposition fans get wound up by it. Like, that's what we should be doing. We should be doing everything in our power to wind up opposition players. But what about this from Finlay? And there's a lot of questions around Sam McCallum. Some really harsh comments where you would say he's under the magnifying glass at the moment. There's a lot of conversation, Jack, around the fact that he's very good going forwards, not so good defensively. And Finlay said, question, system issue or McCallum poor defensively? Don't think I would renew. It's a really interesting point from Finlay. What's your thoughts on Sam McCallum, Jack? Because, of course, he basically got the winner against Plymouth.
Yeah, he did. And, look, I think, you know, if we... Leif Davis at Ipswich gets so many plaudits because of his ability to, you know, he's a left back, but, you know, he scores so many goals and he gets so many assists. But he was at fault for Southampton's first. He was miles out of position. But he gets kind of these plaudits, and I think he is a far better player than Sam McCallum. But he's a similar type of player to McCallum in a sense of...
Similar skill sets, yeah.
McCallum's always looking to win the ball high up the pitch. I think he gets in some really good attacking areas, and I think actually his final product is pretty good.
Yeah.
My frustration with McCallum comes from a defensive point, and, you know, as a left back, that's quite a crucial part of your game. My biggest position isn't necessarily him being out of position, it's his seeming kind of desire to get back into position.
Right. Okay.
And so often...
So you're saying he doesn't track back as much as you would like him to?
I just see it. I don't see the intensity to track back. I see him kind of plodding back.
Oh, really?
And that's really frustrating. And, you know, maybe it's a system thing where your centre-backs peel off and Nunes drops in.
And they cover for him.
Yeah, maybe. But, you know, I guess that, you know, the Plymouth goal, where does the cross come from? Comes from out his side. Where does the Leicester opener come from? Comes from out his side. Like,
so you think teams are targeting that position?
I think so, because he's so high up the pitch. And look, when it works, it works brilliantly.
Yeah.
My concern is, and he did play against Ipswich, didn't he? Because Dimi Anoulis was injured, I think got injured in the warm-up or came off early. And for the first 45 minutes of that game, we were very lucky not to be behind more than we were, because McCallum every time getting caught out of positions. That worries me. I think against better opposition, you will get found out.
The thing that I need to sort of push against with regards to some of the stuff that's being said about Sam and actually also some of the other young players in this Norwich City side. This is the first point, which might come across as a bit of an excuse, but I think it's valid. In very quick succession, we've had failure after failure after failure, meaning Daniel Farker in the Premier League couldn't win a game for Toffee. Yeah, I think, what was it, 10 defeats in a row or something ridiculous?
He
hadn't won in 10. Then we had Smith Ball, which was interesting to say the least. And then, of course, what's happened under David Wagner is he has opted with Stuart Webber to get more senior players in at the football club. So therefore, minutes for younger players have become less and less and less and less. And of course, in recent months, that transition has started to change because of the arrival of Ben Napper. I have no doubt that's the reason why. But so my point here is, Jack, and what I would add is, and in Sam's case, you know, Dimi Anoulis has been in there, right? Sam's not had, in my opinion, a whole load of minutes for you to say is, you know, I just think some of the stuff that's being said about Sam is particularly harsh. And there's a very, very good player with Sam McCallum. And actually, he looks like one of the better younger players that we've seen play for Norwich City this season. And, you know, going forwards, he looks brilliant, right? And I know that he's a defender, but actually, as a wing back, a modern wing back, a modern fullback, they need to be able to do that, right? They need to be able to do that forward bit. So actually, with a bit of actual good coaching, I think that Sam, with a bit of experience, a bit of support, you know, let's not throw Sam McCallum under the bus, because actually, for the time being, if we know he's really good going forwards, then actually, I think to then get back to that original point, the system should try to accommodate for the fact that, you know, Sam might take a little bit longer to get back to position.
Well, look,
maybe I'm standing on Sam's side too much here, but I just think that some of the stuff that's being said about Sam McCallum is way too far. Like, he's a young player. We want him to flourish. We need to support him, right? Yes, teams might be targeting that position at the moment, but in the meantime, the centre-backs can, as you say, Jack, they can go out wide and they can try to cover for him as much as possible.
I think it is a coaching and a system thing, because you look on the other side, Jack Stacey, I mean, he's been caught out of position times this season.
Yeah.
Wagner said on this very podcast when he came in, one of the big philosophies of his football is width.
Yes.
Trying to get your wing-backs up high. And it is the way that modern teams play.
And let's throw something else in. At the moment, we haven't got any fucking wingers. We haven't got an El Hernandez. Yeah. We haven't got Johnny Rowe.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, Farsi's coming on as a substitute, but we're not playing with out and out wingers, in my humble opinion, right? So therefore, you want Sam McCallum and Jack Stacey to almost become those wingers, to provide the width in the place of those injuries. Again, it goes back to that injury problem. Sam's not, certainly not, you know, the single problem in this Norwich City side. The problems that we've already highlighted in this podcast itself, Jack, our centre-backs have been caught out of position way too often. We've had at least 75 different centre-back pairings this season. And also, we're not stopping crosses. Mm. So that doesn't necessarily come down to, oh, it's Sam McCallum. Like, I think that's incredibly harsh.
Yeah, and look, I suspect if McCallum was told by Wagner to sit a little deeper, he would remain in position. But he's obviously being told to
bomb interesting. Forwards. Yeah, that's such an interesting point as well, Jack.
I think it is a system thing, but I would like to see him just give a bit more to
and actually
to tap out.
And actually to maybe let's reflect on what we've said in this podcast. We're saying we want a Norwich City side to go and attack games and give it to the opposition and try and score goals. And therefore, you want those wing backs to come forwards in the missing place of the wingers who are injured. Mm. Ollie. What about this? Ollie says, question, why do we do this to ourselves? Because it's in our blood, Ollie. Bravo, win or die.
In what's that in reference to?
Just supporting Norwich, I think.
It's difficult, isn't it? It is difficult. And it kind of relates to Jack Wright here, good old Jack. He says, inferiority complex football in full swing once again. Positively attack the lesser lights, but then so scared against the better sides. Our attackers were parked halfway in our half, once again, embarrassing on Sky TV. Does seem to be an issue on Sky this year. And I think that's true. Someone wrote here,
hope not, because Sky are covering the game on Saturday.
Let me try and find it here somewhere. This is coming on from Dom Spencer.
Go on, then.
Instead of recoiling in fear of Leicester's ex-Premier League footballers, maybe someone on the Norwich staff should have mentioned that 7 of our 11 starting players on Monday have played in the Premier League.
Yeah.
And 2 of the others, Sarah and Science. So, yes, the money they've spent, and look, the Leicester accounts have just come out.
Yep.
Oh, they don't look good. They really don't look good. I think £200 million lost in the last couple of years, so stick that in your pipe. but it did feel, Chris, as if we were scared. And I don't want to see our Norwich side scared.
Of course.
You want to see us battling against those boys.
I know. And it does just come down to that mentality point again, doesn't it? So let's hope that it's not the case against Ipswich on Saturday.
Let's go through some Derby Day delights.
Go on.
And let's go through a few of our favourite moments.
Yeah, come on then.
And,
let's do that.
Ahead of Saturday.
Let's do that.
Best Derby goal of all time. And let's probably caveat this with saying in our lifetime. Because I'm sure there was a goal against him in like 1936 that we've not seen.
Well, look, let's push this out to you guys. Let us know your best Derby Day goal of all time. Yeah. We want to hear it from you. I think you have to think about the moment, the game. You know, I'm sure people will say Timmy Close's last gasp equaliser. Of course, that sumptuous Hanley cross. For me, in terms of the goal itself, the beauty of the goal, the venom behind the shot, it was Super Bradley Johnson at home against Ipswich. I mean, he literally, the River End net has never recovered from that goal from Bradley Johnson. What's your favourite Bradley goal?
That one pops to mind, and when that was scored, I used to sit at that end in the upper tier.
Yeah.
And I've never seen a ball struck as well,
so
as
good,
pure, as hard as that.
Yeah.
Honestly, the moment in which it left his boots, the time it was passed Bilikowski, it was like that.
Yeah.
It was
The cameras couldn't keep up with it.
It was so sweet. The other one that pops to mind for me is the Redmond goal in the playoffs.
Yes,
because
yes,
I think they just equalised. I think Tommy Smith had just equalised for them or something like that.
Yeah.
And you've suddenly gone from going, we're cruising to Wembley to,
yeah,
shit, they're going to do something here. Because that, there was a feeling going into that game. I think we'd drawn the first leg at Portman Road.
Yeah.
But that Ipswich team was so far off that Norwich team. And there was a few moments, I think there was literally like 5 minutes between the goals, where you're going, oh no, they're going to pull something off. Mick McCarthy sort of pull something off. And up pops Redmond. It was a crisp strike, that brilliant celebration with Wes
in
front of the Barkley end. That was a moment of relief. It was a playoff semi-final against your rivals.
What about Wes's penalty, though, Wes's in that very game?
And I think actually as well, with that Wes penalty, the roar from him in the celebration. Wes was quite a cool customer, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And he never quite saw that emotion.
Oh.
That meant a lot to him. That game in general was
sublime. Let us know your favourite Derby Day goal. What's the next question?
Best Derby win of all
time.
So
what's the best win, bloody Nora?
I think
you're going to say the semi-final.
Well, I know which one you're going to say, and I think it's probably between the two, isn't it?
Okay, although the playoff semi-final win was, you know, amazing, like we have won one of the biggest derbies of all time. The other one, of course, it was the semi-final of the League Cup, wasn't it? It was Steve Bruce, back in the day. But for me, it's that 5-1 away. It's that 5-1 away. We absolutely battered them, embarrassed them.
And that was a moment in the two clubs' history where it was starting to change.
Yeah.
Our dominance was starting to kind of show.
Yeah, agreed.
And that felt like a real changing in.
I mean, they were so shit that day.
Yeah.
Like, there's been wins where, you know, there's been really good Derby Day wins, but they were so shit. Mm. That's the reason why I loved it so
just
much.
Just an iconic team as well, with Jackson and Holty and Russ. And, you know, I think everyone in their journey as a football fan has that team that they really hold on to.
Yeah, and that's the one.
And have nostalgia. And for me, that was the one.
The 4-1 at home, though?
The 4-1 at home. Like
Holty with his moustache. Well,
I'm going to come on to that in a moment.
Oh, okay, go on then.
I'll let you have that. For me, I think the other one is the semi-final win.
Okay.
I mean, it just in terms of importance.
Yeah.
And that season was magical for so many different reasons. Mm. You know, we were Alex Neil, and we didn't really know what to expect, but so much quality in there and a great moment.
So again, let us know. Let us know your answers to these questions.
The reason I'm going to come on to Holty, best Derby celebration.
Oh, okay,
all time. So, I think for me, it's got to be Holty.
I mean, Holty with the mic was
twisting
so
himself
good
up in the cables.
But then also, again, like Bradley Johnson, you know, kung fu kicking the corner flag after that goal was epic. And what about Madison at Portslade Road shushing the scummers? That was superb.
Great goal as well.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. That was a good sell, eh? Or what about that he didn't score the goal, but what about...
I know where you're going here.
Do you? Where am I going?
The cross. The Hanley?
Marco Stiepermann.
Oh, yes.
Marco Stiepermann giving it to the Ipswich fans at Carrow Road. That was good.
That's a niche.
I think Hanley... Did Hanley give it a bit
Hanley
of that as well,
it,
didn't
for
he?
For the cross.
Yeah.
It's been a few good
All
ones
sorts of here. Celebrations.
It's been a lot of goals.
That's no use. I think, the Redmond leap after he scored in the semi-final, that was good as well.
In terms of nonchalance, Cameron Jerome.
That was a long word for you. Well done.
I probably didn't pronounce it right. Cameron Jerome, the opener, or was it the winner? I can't remember.
No, it was to seal it. The salute to the Barkley.
It's like, well, yeah, that's what I do.
Yeah,
Loved Cameron Jerome.
Yeah, and one of my favourite podcasts actually was with Cameron Jerome. I loved speaking with him.
Great guy, great player. We'll finish with the funniest derby moment of all time, and I guess you can take funniest in whichever way you like. Yeah. For me, there's only one.
Go on.
There's only one.
The funniest derby day moment of all time is.
It's that Tim Close goal.
Right, because, okay. I'm surprised. I think there's two more.
Just in terms of laugh out loud hilarity.
Okay.
Luke Chambers, had to be him, scoring at the River End, 89th minute. I think we all forget how late it was. And we've turned to each other in the Barclay and gone, there we go, it's happened, it's over. Yeah. Luke Chambers, the script is written. He's given it Billy Big Bollocks all week. Fist pump Chambo. Well done.
Yeah.
Good on you, mate. You know, you've spoken up to the hype, much like Johnny Rowe did at Portman Road. Only for a Grant Hanley super run. Delightful cross on the skull of Tim Closer. Yeah. It's happened again.
Yeah.
Quite right, Brenna Woolley of BBC Radio Suffolk. It's happened again. There was nothing really riding on the game. It was a mid-table championship clash. If there was one game that Ipswich were going to win, it was going to be that one, and still it didn't
was
happen.
the BBC Radio Suffolk commentary of when are they ever going to beat them, something like that. Yeah,
when are we ever going to beat them?
So I think
just one of those. There was nothing riding on it. It was just funny.
So that's where I think you're right, but you're wrong.
Okay,
I think that sits in third place.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
You've forgotten two classics.
Right. Okay.
Classics.
Okay.
The second funniest moment in East Anglian derby history for me was Paul Lambert
getting sent off. Yeah.
And of course, Daniel Farker's wink. Paul Lambert getting sent off was fucking phenomenal. That was so, so funny. So that's the second place.
That was brilliant.
That's the second place.
What's first?
And I'll tell you the first one. And maybe people have forgotten about this. I certainly haven't. Ipswich come to Carrow Road.
Yeah.
Yeah. They score. And the manager of Ipswich Town at the time is Mick McCarthy.
Yeah, great
and
one.
Mick McCarthy, brilliant. The Ipswich manager, tells the Ipswich fans to fuck off. Fuck off. Do you remember? Fuck off.
Brilliant.
That was hilarious. So, Timmy Close, let's put him in third. Second, Paul Lambert getting sent off. Yeah. Mick McCarthy telling the Ipswich fans to fuck off in first place. But let us know your funniest derby day moments.
I'll let you have that one.
Let us know your funniest moments.
That was brilliant because that was in that game. It was the Chambers goal, wasn't
it? Was it? Okay,
it was
the Chambers
goal. And you've gone, not only do we hate Ipswich, their own manager hates them. And they hated me.
That was so good.
It was a lovely complexion of just hatred.
It was just comedy for so many years. It was comedy.
That was great.
That's why I'm fearing this weekend, because they are no longer a comedy sketch.
It was the passion behind the fuck off.
Yeah.
To your own fans.
They were just an absolute circus, weren't they? They were a circus. And now, sadly, they are not.
Love Mick McCarthy. Okay, let's finish off this podcast. Yeah. Some predictions.
I don't know what
Mick McCarthy.
Yeah, sorry. Just a quick tangent. In fact, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to. In fact, fuck it, I'll say it.
Oh God.
Do you know? In fact, no, I'm not going to say it. But speaking of Mick McCarthy, it's made me think about former Ipswich managers, and obviously people would say, you know, Jim Magilton, and I just had Paul Jewell,
Roy Keane,
legend, and Roy Keane popped up, and I remembered the Roy Keane chant,
which I can't even remember it.
Keno.
Yeah.
That one.
Yeah, okay, we'll leave it there. Fill in the blanks.
What was your question to finish?
Prediction. Saturday.
Oh, don't do this to
12:30.
Me, mate. Well, look, I'll bite your hand off for a draw now.
Would you?
Absolutely. I mean, what do you want? Money-wise. Honestly, I would love a draw. Just as long as we don't lose and we keep our Derby Day record.
I think a draw probably suits both teams.
Because they are a much... No. It doesn't suit Ipswich. They need to win every game to win the title, mate.
Yeah, but I think just avoiding... I think in these games, it is avoiding defeat, isn't it?
Well, yeah, all right. So then in which case, we'll lose. Because when Norwich approach the game to avoid defeat, we lose.
Mm. Yeah, you're right.
But, look, I know that there'll be lots of Norwich fans that'll be like, oh, come on, lads. And, you know, I want to channel that, but I would take a draw. So my hopeful prediction is... 2-2, a Desmond.
I think that I think the Well, it's probably going to be 0-0 now. I think the only guarantee of this is there will be goals.
Mate, it ain't going to be 0-0. There is no. This is not going to be 0-0. No way.
I think you've got, in terms of East Anglia and Derby, you've got the two best sides in terms of Ipswich and Norwich for a long while. Norwich have to be brave. Mm. They have to go for it.
Yeah.
Because as we've said throughout this, if you sit back against this Kieran McKenna side, you will be beaten and you will be embarrassed. Yes. And we got away with one at Portman Road. They missed a whole host of chances at 0-0. Yeah. And even when they took the lead,
a couple
of individual bits of quality from Johnny Rowe.
So let's finish with a rally cry from both of us, right? And your rallying cry, is to the Norwich City supporters, and my rallying cry is going to be to the Norwich players.
Well, look, I think there have been season-defining games throughout this season, and I think in a lot of them we've come out on top. This is another. This sets a tone. This sets the mood going into, hopefully, a playoff campaign. And if you go into that campaign fresh in the mind of beating one of the best sides in the Championship or even avoiding defeat, that sets you up well. You know that you can do it.
Mm.
Let's get behind the boys. Let's back Wagner, even if we go behind, because this will be, you know, a basketball type affair. It's not going to be domination from one side for the whole 90. I don't think will be. So it's going to, you know, momentum will swing in either direction. It's going to be horrible. It's going to be gnarly. Let's try and enjoy it.
Mm.
There's nothing to lose. There's everything to lose. Let's back the boys. Let's hope for the best. Like we did at Portman Road. We went into that one expecting nothing and got something. How good would it be to continue what's been a really good couple of months?
To the Norwich City players, this is your time to write your name, to etch your name in Canary folklore forever. Every tackle, every header, every pass, every cross, every shot, you do it with at least 26,000 hearts beating behind it. You fucking bleed for this fucking crest on the shirt on Saturday. You leave it all on the pitch. You get meat on those tackles, yeah? Take them out. Push them into the advertising boards. Do anything and everything to win this fucking game of football. We cannot, should not, and will not let this derby run go now. Okay, this is the time to put them off their parapet, yeah, to drag them into the playoffs, to make them look like fools, and you've got the power to do that. It's been a turbulent to disappointing season, it's fair to say, yeah? You've let us down last year, you've started to come good now, all right? So you prove to us that you've got what it takes to be a player at this football club. You prove that you want it. You write your name in folklore on Saturday. You fucking do it for the Norwich players, for the Norwich fans, for your players around you, for your friends, for your family sitting in the stand. Don't you dare let this football club down now. This is your time. It's going to be iconic.
12:30.
Go out there and fucking do it.
Saturday. We'll see you there.